Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a question, a Bible question, or some topic of interest you'd like to discuss with us today, well, give us a call right now. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742, is good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday, we heard about the passing of Billy Graham, absent from the body and present with the Lord. And today, we want to address that question that so many people have on their minds. What happens to us when we die? Mm-hmm. And certainly, I know in light of the passing of Billy Graham, that question is being asked a lot today or over the last couple of days. Now, as we start this discussion, I wanted to read a quote from Billy Graham. And we actually posted this to our Facebook page yesterday and had just a great response to it. A lot of people shared it, a lot of comments. This was just one of those really powerful, powerful posts that we did. Well, here was the quote from Billy Graham. "Someday you will read or hear that Billy Graham is dead." Well, that day was yesterday. And he says in this, "Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. I will have gone into the presence of God." Now, a lot of people reading that or hearing that, if you were around him when he said that a number of years ago, you might think that's arrogant. It sounds a little cocky. It sounds, you know, like he knows something that nobody else does. Well, the truth is, he does. He knows the Word of God. He knows the promises of the Bible. He knew the reality of the gospel message as far as the implications in his life. And we can all have that same kind of confidence. It's not something that's just reserved for people like Billy Graham, for God's special folks, for God's anointed people that are doing the work of ministry. As a matter of fact, we're all equal in Christ Jesus. There's no hierarchy in the body of Christ. There's just different functions, just different giftings that we have, but all to be used for the building up of the body of Christ, for encouraging and stimulating one another to growth in the love and grace of God. So there's no one better than anyone else within the body of Christ. We were all saved in exactly the same way, by grace through faith in Jesus. We all received the same life. Christ came to live in each and every one of us. We all are going to share in this inheritance. All of us have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So this confidence about death is not something that's just reserved for a few. So here's what the scripture has to say. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'm going to start reading in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to go through verse 8, and then Richard is going to share a passage out of 1 John. So Paul says this, "While we live in these earthly bodies," and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I like the directness and the clarity that this translation brings as far as this passage is concerned. So he says this, "While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. But it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. Now, God himself has prepared us for this." So God has prepared us for this passing, for this death that we're all going to experience. He's taken away the fear of death in each and every one of us because Christ tasted death for us. And in tasting death for us, he defeated Satan, the one who had power over death. So there's nothing to fear as far as that last breath is concerned. Now, many of us don't like the way we're going to have to get there
and the
pain and suffering that we might experience that brings us to that final breath. But the passing from this body to the next is not something that we are afraid of. It's not something that we fear at all. Why? Because God himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So we have a taste of what heaven is like here in the present through the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we are always confident. Now, if you have a Bible, you should mark that phrase. So we are always confident. We can stare death right in the face with as much confidence as any person on this planet. Not because of anything that we've done, not because of our good works, not because we've merited that type of confidence. It's because of the work of Jesus Christ, the one who took away our sins once and for all, the one who was raised back to life, and the one who has given us his indestructible life. So that's where the confidence comes from. It comes from Jesus Christ. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord. So what's the answer to the question, what happens to us when we die? This is the answer. On that last breath, we're immediately absent from the body and present with the Lord. Bob, a number of years ago, your wife Diane passed away, and there was a lot of people in that room, and you were right there with her, holding her hand. And one of the things that you said that has stuck with me, that was one of the most touching things I have ever heard from another believer, is that you held her hand until the Lord Jesus came and took it from you and escorted her into his presence. And that's exactly what happened at that moment. And the sadness of her passing was felt. But in that moment, there was great rejoicing.
It was swallowed up in victory.
Absolutely. We knew exactly where she was, absent from that body and present with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the confidence we have and we can have, knowing the truth, knowing that Christ has done all the work and has prepared the way and has given us the Holy Spirit. That guarantees that we, when we take our last breath, we're going to be with the Lord. And we see that again in that passage in 1 John.
Yeah, 1 John chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 15. This is, how is this possible? Kind of an explanation. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. That is salvation. The Holy Spirit, God by the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. That's salvation. Have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Jesus lived a life of perfect dependence. He was God, but he laid that aside, lived as a human, lived in perfect dependence on the Father in him, him in the Father. As a result of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, we can accept the forgiveness that he offers, and we can therefore live in God, just as Jesus did, and God lives in us, just as he did in Jesus. Therefore, in essence, just like Paul said in Ephesians 2, we're already seated with him. We're already there. I am in God as his child. So where else am I going to go when I die physically? Because I'm already there.
You're already living in God.
Yes.
God is already living in you. You're just going to change locations from
yes.
an earthly realm to an heavenly realm.
Yes.
And, you know, one last point on this before we take a little break. We always talk about going to heaven. Do you know that you're going to go to heaven when you die? And we get all worked up over the place. Is mm-hmm. it going to be heaven? Is it going to be hell? And as you read through the New Testament, it's not the place that the writers of the New Testament really talk about. They talk about it for sure,
yes.
but it's the person who is in the place.
Yes.
So as Billy Graham wrote, I will have gone into the presence of God. When we read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, absent from the body, present with the Lord. When Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, when I come back, I'm going to come to get you and take you so that you can be with me forever. Mm-hmm. So it's the fact that we're going to get to be with Jesus. That's what makes that place just heaven, that Jesus is there, and we're going to get to be with him. So we get all worked up over the place. And I think when we really know this gospel, our hearts leap for joy knowing that when we take our last breath, we're going to see Jesus face to face.
Face to face. That's the good news that you hear each day on Basic Gospel, everybody. We're glad you're with us. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd like for you to do that. Give us a call right now at 844-322-2742. Whether in the U.S. or Canada, that's a toll-free number, 844-322-2742. Call quickly. We'd like to discuss your question or your particular topic with you. I want to remind you also, friends, that as we always do, that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry. And with your gift this month, we'll send you a copy of the new CD by Bob Christopher called Established in Truth, a message that will encourage you to grow as a believer, to be established in a full and abundant life in Christ Jesus. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go down to Temple, Texas and talk to our friend Duran. Hi, Duran. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Bob. How are y'all doing?
We're doing fantastic. What's on your mind today?
Well, I had a question about when Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. What is the context of that, and what did he mean by that?
Well, I think it's a salvation passage. I mean, we're all looking for answers to life. We're looking for that one thing that is going to give us meaning and purpose to life, that's going to take away our guilt and shame, that's going to take us out of the realm of darkness and place us into the realm of light. So Jesus was saying, and we see this recorded in two places, Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 7, and then we also see it in Luke chapter 11. So the context for both of those passages is the same thing, the Sermon on the Mount. But I think it's, hey, keep knocking, keep looking, keep seeking, and you're going to find. Why? Because God wants to reveal himself to you in such a way that you're gonna know that all that you need, all that you're looking for is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So that's what this is all about. And I think the passage in Luke really gives us the answer to that. He says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if he if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So what was the thing that God the Father was going to give us? The Holy Spirit. Well, when does he give us the Holy Spirit? That moment that we're born again, that moment that the gospel message really hits our hearts and we respond in faith and dependence and trust upon the Lord Jesus.
Oh, I got you now. Okay. I was looking at Matthew, and so it was also explained it more in Luke.
Yes.
Yeah,
Luke
11.
Chapter 11.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Bob. And that explains a lot then, because, you know, I used to hear that a lot too back in my lost days, and people taking that out of context and not understanding what it really means.
Right.
So basically, the context is the Sermon on the Mount, and he was basically talking about salvation. He's going to, you know, at that time he had not died yet, but he was talking about future time when he'll give us his Holy Spirit.
Yes, I mean it's ties to what he said in Revelation, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. So he's knocking. He's there. So when we're seeking, when we're asking, when we're knocking ourselves, our paths cross, and we can receive what only he has to offer, and that's forgiveness, life, and freedom, and that's given to us through the giving of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you, Daron. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes. Once again, it's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've joined us. Again, open lines 844-322-2742.
Let's go out to Terrell, Texas, to Renee, listening to us on The Word today. Hi, Renee.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine. What's on your mind?
Good. This is something that I have wondered for a while, and I've always believed to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But then it talks about the rapture, and the dead in Christ will rise. So I've had people, you know, say, well, you are kind of asleep, you know, until the rapture. So I'm it confuses me.
Well, there's a theology out there, Renee, that's called soul sleep. So the body just goes into the ground, and then when that day of resurrection occurs, our bodies are raised, our spirits enter into those bodies, we're given new resurrection bodies, and we're with the Lord forever. Well, the scripture doesn't teach that. You can't really find that in the Word of God. What you do find, Renee, is just what I read at the top of the program. When you and I are absent from these bodies, we are immediately present with the Lord. So we may not have our resurrection bodies at that moment, but we're going to be with Jesus.
We are.
And we know that we're going to receive a resurrection body at a point. Of course, here's the really crazy stuff, Renee. We're bound by time here on earth, aren't we? So everything's on a timeline. But God is always present. He is the great I am. Jesus claimed to be the I am. So eternity, there's no time.
There's no time.
Past. There's no future. It's just always present. So how that's going to be, we'll find out. But right now, our finite, time-bound minds have a hard time understanding the realm called eternity. So what we do know, when we die, we're going to be absent from the body, we're going to be present with the Lord, and we also know that at a point in time, when the Lord comes back, and we're going to receive our resurrection bodies, and we're going to be with the Lord forever. And that's the good news, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And that's all that really matters.
That's all that really matters.
I have had people want to discuss this with me, and I'm saying, but the Bible is very clear about to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yeah.
So that, you know.
Well, you keep your feet. Yeah, you keep your feet on that solid foundation. Don't let anybody move you away from the hope that you have in Jesus. And that hope is the fact that you're going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord.
Amen. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Well, you are so welcome, Renee. Thanks for calling today. Let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a gift just for a great question today, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Renee.
I love the simple logic that the Bible uses. We're the ones who complicate it.
Yes.
The Bible clearly tells us that when you die, the body goes in the ground. The Bible clearly tells us that when you die, you're absent from your body and present with the Lord. And the Bible clearly tells us that at some point in time, resurrected bodies are going to be given to both those who have been asleep and to those who are waiting and are alive. If we would just take it, those three statements, there's no confusion.
None.
There doesn't have to be any confusion at all. It's just hope, because God's doing what he's going to do, and we're the beneficiaries of it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, here's another confusing topic. It's speaking or praying in tongues, and Lisa writes to us on our Facebook page today and wants to know, wants an explanation about praying in tongues. She said somebody talked to her about that and practices that and says that they grow in their faith through this practice. So what does the Word of God have to say about speaking or praying in tongues? We know it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We see that in the Bible that gift was used primarily for evangelistic purposes. Mm-hmm. So we see Peter and on the day of Pentecost and the disciples speaking the gospel, and those there were hearing it in their native tongue. Now, that was miraculous. That was supernatural. That was a gifting of the Holy Spirit to bring that about. And it says, as a result of that, 3,000 Jews were added to the body of Christ that day. So we see it as a known language for the purpose of telling somebody that doesn't understand your language the good news about Jesus. So it was evangelistic in nature. So does God still about that? Can he still do that sort of thing? Absolutely. But like with almost everything, we take something positive, something meant to point people to Jesus, and we turn it back on us. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, as Paul said, we speak in tongues to edify ourselves. That's what the Corinthians were doing. And Paul wasn't commending them for that practice.
No.
He wasn't patting them on the back. He wasn't giving them kudos that they were doing the right thing. He was saying, hey, this is all about you. Well, if you understand the giftings of the Holy Spirit, you realize it's not about you, that you've been gifted, you've been given a gift of the Holy Spirit for the benefit of the body of Christ, so that the body of Christ can fulfill its purpose here on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not something that God gives to all people. He gives gifts at his discretion. And you don't need the gift of speaking in tongues for your faith to grow.
Yes. There's the key point. Ask your friend if she hasn't spoken in tongues or prayed in tongues, does her faith not grow? And if she says no, it doesn't grow, then she's got a complete misunderstanding of how God works in us, how the Spirit works in us. It's God's prerogative. Our faith is just our response to him. It's not the result of
right.
some gift or some ability or anything else. It's just simply saying, yes, Lord, and walking step by step
faith
with him.
Faith is belief, trust, dependence, and the substance of our faith is bound to the person and work of Jesus.
Yes.
So as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we're going to see our faith grow and mature. Why? Because it's in direct correlation to our understanding, our growing in the knowledge of who he is.
Yep.
That's how faith grows, not by these spiritual gifts, not by any particular practice, but by an understanding that is given to us by the Holy Spirit of the person and work of Jesus.
Indeed. Well, great news, guys. Thank you for sharing that. Most people who are serious about their faith, of course, hope for a full and abundant life. And at Basic Gospel, our mission, of course, is to help everyone listening to this program get to that point. That's why we're offering Bob Christopher's CD, Established in Truth, to those of you who pray for and support the message that you hear every day on Basic Gospel. We hope that you'll help by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. You can also call 844-322-2742 to make your gift and help this ministry continue to spread the good news to North America and around the world. We'll send you the CD, Established in Truth, to say thank you for your partnership with Bob Richard and me and this dedicated staff at Basic Gospel. Together, we can help many people hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. We would love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel. Well, that's it for today, everybody. So for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to join us for that marvelous study through the book of Hebrews tomorrow on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.